Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good to see all of you. Grab yourself a Bible, open it up to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 is on page 2 in the church Bible, so that's an easy find right there. And I'm going to open us in a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that we can come here and worship you in freedom. And we remember this week, Lord, Patriots Day, as we remember those who have fallen in the attack against our country, Lord. And we just pray for the family and friends of those people that they would be comforted at this time with only the comfort that you can give. I just pray, Lord, that as we worship this morning and hear your word, that you would help us to just really understand your truth, understand what you've done for us, and understand how you want us to respond. I'm thankful again for the opportunity that we have to be here this morning and for each person that's here today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Today we're starting our series, four-week series about work. And for some of you, when I say work, you're just like, ah, work, I hate that place. I hate what I do. I can't stand my boss. I hate the commute. Everybody's inconsiderate. I just hearing the word work just ruined my Sunday. That's maybe some of you. Did you know that in 2011, there was a Gallup poll taken that said 71% of people say they do not like their job and are disengaged? 71% of the people. Others of you might be the opposite. You might be like, I love my job. I love what I do. I love the people I work with. My boss is awesome. The commute's great because there really isn't much of a commute, and I just love it. But then others of you are thinking this: I don't love it. I don't hate it. You do what you have to do. It's a necessary evil. It's a paycheck. So most people fit into one of those three categories. And what I want to do through this series over this week and the next 3 weeks is I want us to really come to an understanding of work and how we're called in life to work and how our work can be used to glorify God and lift him up and actually bring some fulfillment in life, bring some purpose in life, and bring some dignity in our life. Because you know what? We spend 40 plus hours a week doing this thing called work. So in essence, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the biblical perspective on work and how it affects our lives. Now, the main text here that we use is always the Bible. And for those of you who are new here, if you're just coming in, normally I don't do topical. Like a few times a year, I'll do topical like this work series. Normally, we study through books of the Bible, and we just got done Romans for 27 weeks. So we're going to do this topical series, and then we're going to get into Proverbs. But the secondary text I use to prepare for this is a book called Every Good Endeavor by Tim Keller. And if you're really struggling with work, Tim Keller really brings to light many issues. And we're going to bring up those things. So that's kind of the secondary text. So the first is always the Bible. The secondary text I use in my study for this message series is that book. So this week, what we're going to do is we're going to answer a question. Why did God create work? So we're going to look at the theology, the background, the biblical teaching of what in the world is work for anyway? Genesis 2, if you look there, I'll read verses 1 through 3, and then I'll skip down to verse 15. It says this: Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all of them, and the host of all of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Then let's skip down to verse 15. It says this: The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. So we see from the scriptures here that the first worker was actually God. And then Adam and Eve were really the second workers. They were put in the Garden of Eden to tend the garden, to take care of paradise. Work was something that God intended. See, if work were something that was bad, God would not himself have worked in the work of creation, and he would not have commissioned men and women to work. So really, it was his design to work. And we see in Genesis 1:31, it actually says that God looked at all his work and said it was very good. But some of you are thinking, you know what? Why did God make work? Can't we just enjoy his creation and not do this thing called work? Or maybe some of you have heard, Work was a punishment. Work was a curse that was put on us by God because of the disobedience of Adam. And there is some truth in that. And here's what that truth is. It's found in Genesis 3, 17 through 19. After Adam and Eve had disobeyed, the curse was actually put on the ground. And it said that work would pretty much be hard. That Adam would farm the land and thorns and thistles and weeds would grow. And by the sweat of his brow, he would work. So the curse isn't work. The curse is actually that work would be difficult. Those are all the things you hate about your job. But some of you are thinking, wouldn't life be better without work? Wouldn't life be better without work? And I'm here to tell you, the answer is no. The answer is actually no. And actually, in some studies done, they find that people that are cut off from work because of physical or other reasons quickly discover how much they need some sort of work to thrive physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Some of you here that have been put out of work for some reason for an extended period of time probably realize that. You probably think, yeah, that was a tough time for me not to have a job or not to be able to work, to just be around but not actually have anything to do. Interestingly enough, in another Gallup poll taken in 2012, they found people that were engaged in their work, that liked their work, actually worked a bit more each week than people who were not. People who liked their job or were engaged in their job actually took more vacation than people who didn't, which seems odd, doesn't it? They would take more vacation than the people who didn't like their job. But one of the most staggering things was they found out that the people who actually engaged in their work and liked their work were actually healthier. Healthier people spiritually, physically, and emotionally. So the formula seems to be, as I've been studying, biblically and outside of the Bible, if you like your job, plus doing a good job, plus feeling better about what you do, equals a healthier person. So how do we get there? How do we get there? And that's what I'm hoping to do through this series. I'm hoping that we become a church of people who are like, yeah, you know what? The Lord has placed me in this place, and I am going to find fulfillment in it. I'm going to find purpose in it. I'm going to find dignity in it. I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm going to use it to glorify the Lord. So this morning, what I'm doing here is this. The Bible helps us to understand four reasons why God created us to work. And the first one is this. We find dignity. And by definition, I want to say dignity is this. Dignity is a high or honorable rank or position. See, when God created, here's what happened. He gave man and woman a job. He gave men and women the job. Genesis 1 tells us this, that we should rule, subdue, and multiply. Do you know that we're the only creature that God commissioned like that? That's what separates us from the animals. That's what separates us. God actually gave us a job to do. I want you to turn to Psalm 8. Psalm 8, it's pretty easy to find. It's on page 450 in the Church Bible. Psalm 8 kind of helps us to understand this a little bit more, that God commissioned us, that we're different, and because of that, we actually have dignity. God commissioned us. Let's look at Psalm 8, 4 through 8 says this. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heaven, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. See, what this passage does is work reminds us. God gave us dominion over everything that he has created. God is the creator, and now he's put us in this world as his representatives, as his caretakers over society, over community, over all the things that need to be cared for. See, each person has dignity in God's sight because God has called us to work. But then some say this. You know what? Only certain jobs really have dignity, though. Only jobs that make a difference in the lives of people. Only the ones that you have to use your mind. Only the ones that bring personal fulfillment. Those are only the jobs that bring dignity. But I would say that's not true. I would say that, based upon God's word, that all work is needed and necessary to keep things operating. In fact, everything that we do can make a difference. We can use our mind, and it can bring fulfillment in even the most seemingly menial tasks. But you're still probably thinking to yourself, you know what, I only clean houses or pump gas or drive a truck. It's a dead-end job, or I feel like I have a dead-end job. But let me ask you a question. What if you decided not to do your job? And then what if everybody else in this whole entire world decided not to do that job either? What would this world look like? Let's just take a simple career like cleaning houses. And what if everybody decided, I'm not going to do that anymore. It's a menial task and I don't want to do that anymore. And then all of us here decided, you know, I'm not doing that either. And we all decided not to clean our houses. That would probably be a good reality show, wouldn't it? But that's all it would be, is a reality show, because eventually disease would fester, wouldn't it? It would be a terrible looking world if everybody decided, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. Tim Keller states in his book, all work has dignity because it reflects God's image in us. And also because the material creation we are called to care for is good. Did you know that in Revelation 21, 22, God makes the new heavens and new earth for people to live in, for his people to live in? Did you know that we don't just float around on clouds in heaven, that it's actually a material world? Did you know that actually in heaven we will work? We will do these things like we do now, minus the curse. So for each point, I have a question for you, and this is the main question under this point. Why are you not finding dignity in your work? Why are you not finding dignity in your work? Is there a problem with the work that you're doing? Is there a problem with your work conditions? Is your response... Oh. I slipped up. I know I have another question written down here. There we go, page 4. Do you feel like you're above what you're doing? Do you feel that it's not a right fit? Is this the reason why you're not finding dignity in your work? Well, here's the thing. We're going to talk about all those things in this series, the problems that we have with work, because I know some of the problems that all of you have are difficult. And we want to make sure that we work through those in the way that God wants us to work through those. See, as Christians, we realize that in work, we actually have dignity. But we also have a responsibility to do something called cultivate. And if you don't know what cultivate means, it's pretty much prepare and use. God has given us the responsibility, not only in the garden, but in life. In Genesis 1, 28, basically God is saying, things need to be done, and I've put people who are made in my image to get those things done. It's our responsibility to actually cultivate. So that means whatever task you're placed before, paid or unpaid, it's actually your responsibility. Some of you might be thinking to yourself right now, paid or unpaid? Wait, I'm not going to work if I'm not paid. And what I mean by this is, I think that everybody's going to be able to get something out of this sermon series because our responsibility is to cultivate, whether it's paid or unpaid. That means that whether you're a stay-at-home mom who is unpaid financially or someone who's just taking care of your home unpaid, it's still our responsibility to do that type of work. Did you know that it's God's plan for us to develop society? That's what we're supposed to do. We have a responsibility to cultivate this society. When I was a little kid, and some of you might have thought this way as well, when I was a little kid, I always heard God made everything. But then we would drive around and I'd see people building houses and people doing things. And I'd be like, that's not true. Those people made that house. Those people made that building, right? So I asked my mom, Mom, I thought you said God made everything. And my mom had a really good answer. She said, God gave people the brains to make those things. I was like, you know what? That's a pretty good answer. I have nothing to say back to that. Okay. See, in the creation account, what happens is God tells them to cultivate. God tells them to they have a responsibility to cultivate. But did you also know that in the creation account, like I read, that there is a concept of work and rest? Six, you will work, and one day you will rest. So leisure and pleasure are very good things, but actually we can only take so much of them. And some of you are like, that's not true. I could take a lot of leisure and pleasure. But I would say this, God actually designed us to not overindulge in those things, but to look forward to those things. So that's why many of us do. We look forward to what? The weekend, because we can have pleasure. But if you've ever been in a situation, maybe it's even been a vacation, and I know I found myself like this, maybe the vacation was just a couple of days too long. And you're just thinking to yourself, you know what, I just really got to get back to the routine, to that work-rest cycle. There's something to be said about that. That's why when you meet somebody who's retired, what do they usually say? Oh, what are you going to do now? They're like, eh, find a little job. Like, really? You just retired. You're going to find a little job now? You know? Why? Because they're like, I want to do something. I feel like I have this ingrained responsibility in me. But on the other hand, if you ask people in nursing homes how they're doing, what do they normally respond with? They'll often say, I wish I had something useful to do. I wish I had something useful to do. I feel like I'm not doing much at all. See, it's our responsibility to follow that cycle that God set up so we can fulfill our responsibility. Work, rest. We set aside a day to rest and worship. And we set aside this day so that we can go back to our responsibility of cultivating. Some of you have a big problem with this setting aside the day to rest. Okay? If you're a workaholic, we're going to talk about that in the coming weeks. If you're a workaholic, this is a big thing because actually you're living in a sinful pattern. You're actually saying to God, no, I'm not going to rest like you modeled. Do you think for a minute that God needed to rest? The God of this universe made everything. Was he like, oh man, that was tough. Yeah, I got to rest now. No, not at all. He modeled it for us. Others of you are caught in the other rut. You just can't stop resting. Okay, it's called laziness. So my question is this. What is standing in the way of you fulfilling your responsibility to cultivate? What's standing in the way? Is it your work conditions? Is it you don't feel like it? Is it you don't get enough rest? Do you know if you don't get enough rest, you're not going to be a good worker? So in work, we find dignity. We have a responsibility to cultivate. But we also have an outlet for something called creativity. God gave people the ability to be creative because he's a creative God. In Psalm 94, verse 9, it says this. I'll read it to you. He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? See, we know that God's a creative God because we can look at one another. He's creative. He made us. We can look at nature. God is the creator. So as people, do you know what gift we're given as his image bearers? It's called creativity. And work is actually a place that we can use it. And some of you are saying to yourself, that's my problem. I can't be creative at work. But others of you might have found out this. Creativity isn't just like painting and music and the arts, but it's actually thinking about how things can be better, how maybe my work can be a little bit easier, how I can be more efficient. Do you know if someone was looking, and if any of you here are business owners, if you're looking for a person to employ, you don't want a person who doesn't think creatively. You want somebody who thinks because guess what? They might be able to help your business in a better way and actually reap some rewards from that good employee. Do you know if you're not thinking creatively, you're just filling a role, but you're not really fulfilling the role? You're kind of like a warm body. You're just filling the role. To give a shout out to those moms who are staying at home with their children, and I know our society belittles them. I know that. My wife stays home with our kids, and I know people say, oh, that's all you do. That's all you do. But late one night in 1946, there was a stay-at-home mom that, for the second time that night, got up with her wet and crying baby. Back then, they used cloth diapers. And if the baby went to the bathroom, it went on their clothes and on their sheets and everything. And this mom thought to herself, this is so difficult. And her name was Marion O'Brien Donovan. She knew there had to be a better way. So she started thinking and getting creative. She saw the curtain hanging in the shower. She grabbed that shower curtain and she went to her sewing machine. She decided to make herself a diaper cover because she figured if the baby goes, at least it will just stay on the cloth diaper. I could change it really quick and not have to worry about the clothes and the sheets as well in the middle of the night. Well, she cut out this section and she made this diaper cover. And as it turns out, it was such a good idea that other people saw how good of an idea it was. So in 1951, she actually got 4 patents for her invention, which was really the precursor to what most of us know as diapers, those ones you throw out, the disposable ones. But that same year in 1951, she actually sold the rights to the Kiko Corporation for $1 million in 1951. $1 million. The creativity of a hard-working mom actually reaped some serious rewards. But interestingly enough in that story, most of us, I'm not going to say all of us, but to have that kind of money, to have that kind of money would say, game over, I'm just hanging out now. What did she do? She decided to use that money to finance other inventions to help make other people's lives better. Creativity. She realized it, she saw the fruit of it, and she said, you know what? Why should I stop? I have this amazing resource to continue on. So my question for you, in your work, what has squelched your creativity? What has squelched your creativity? So if in our work we find dignity, we have a responsibility to cultivate, we have an outlet for creativity, and finally, we have an opportunity for service. We have an opportunity in our work for service. 1 Corinthians 7:17 says this. Paul says this. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. See, when it comes to work, we need to look at it not only in the realm of I get money from it or it's for self-advancement, climbing up the ladder. This is your opportunity to actually serve God and people. Did you know that? To serve God and people through what you are doing on a day in and day out basis. I've quoted him many times, the reformer Martin Luther, 1500s, one of the leaders of the Reformation. Well, he was a monk for many years, started reading the Bible and started to challenge the church at that time. Led the Reformation. One of the things that the church taught at that time was if you had a job in the ministry, if you were a pastor or a monk or a nun or whatever in the ministry, that was important. That was fulfilling. That was what you needed to do. But if you had a job in what they called the secular world, like if you were a farmer or a grocer or whatever, those things weren't important. Those things weren't important. And you know what? They were just for money so the money can be given to the work of the church because that was real church. That was real work. So Martin Luther was like, no, that's wrong. That's not biblical, that's wrong. Everything is important to God. Every job that a person has is important to God. The regular jobs are not just for money. This is what he said. Even seemingly secular works are a worship and well-pleasing to God. That's what Luther said. Even seemingly secular works are worship and well-pleasing to God. And some of us are thinking, well, how? I'm going to give you a couple of ways in closing on how that can be. And then the rest of the series, we're going to talk about how it can be even more. But the first is this. Work needs to be an act of love. love for God and love for other people. Let me ask you a couple of questions. What happens when a doctor is a doctor because they love helping to heal people? But on the other hand, what happens if a doctor is a doctor if they just want the money? What happens when a lawyer practices law for the love of justice? What happens when a landscaper landscapes for the love of the beauty of nature? See, work becomes then an opportunity to serve our fellow people and also to serve God. So you have to figure out in your work, how can I love God and love other people? How can God use this to impact? Let me ask you a question. I'm a pastor. What if you heard me say, hey, you know what? It's a paycheck. It's a good gig. You get a paycheck out of it. How would you feel? You'd be like, man, well, why is that not all right for me, but it's all right for you? How come? How come you can say that, but I can't? Because I think that you're held to the same standard as me. We have to look at work as such a different thing. We have to look at work as an opportunity, an act to love other people. You might say to yourself, I can't love this job. There's no way I can love this job. Let me ask you a question. The God-man, Jesus Christ, do you know what his job was? His job was to come down to this earth and be tortured for my sins and your sins. His job was to take it all and then raise it back up again, being raised from the dead. The Bible says that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, rose again to prove that he was God, and then the Bible tells us that all who believe in Jesus will have eternal life. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus loved the job of being crucified? Loved the work of being crucified? I would say no. Do you know what he loved? He loved us. He loved us so much. I don't think God's necessarily saying you have to love your job. But what he is saying, you have to love the people and me. You have to love God and love others. And then you'll actually be able to look at your work as a work of service. But the second thing in closing is this, do your best. We're going to talk more about this. But God has given each person the talents and the abilities to serve others. When you wake up in the morning, hopefully you're spending a little time with the Lord, praying, reading the Word. You have to self-check and say, I am going to do my best. In the face of the fact that my boss might not like me, in the face of the fact that the other people in my workplace are brutal, in the face of the fact that I had a very stressful commute, I am going to do my best. Colossians 3, 23 through 24 says this, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So do your best. Do your best work. See, God created work for us to find dignity, to remind us of the responsibility we have to cultivate, to give us an outlet for creativity, and give us an opportunity to serve. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time you've given us, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, as a church, we just become workers in the community that love you, that love others, that do our best, that realize that you created work for good for us to have purpose and dignity and value and worth in this society and in this community. I pray, Lord, regardless of the job, whether it's a stay-at-home mom, a student in school, a professional, whatever it might be, that each person in this church would really grasp the concept that you've created this for many different reasons. And our job in following you is to show others the love, show you the love, and to do our best with what you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.